Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. Today we follow the order of responsive prayer 2 found on page 285 in Lutheran Service Book. The hymn is number 587, I Know My Faith Is Founded. The text is 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 16 through 21. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 2 Peter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We did not follow cleverly devised myths. We were eyewitnesses. It's an amazing historical statement. And this is Peter talking, an incredible historical figure himself. If you get the special tool, St. Peter's involved, you can see the tomb that was built over Peter's grave in about 100 or 150. He was martyred in Nero's hippodrome right there. The great obelisk in front of St. Peter's was in the middle of the hippodrome then, to the left. There Peter was crucified upside down. And his followers took the apostle's body to a gravesite, a burial ground, a cemetery. That cemetery was excavated underneath St. Peter's. You can go and see it now. It's pretty amazing. It's a whole street of graves, and right in on Peter's tomb, Greek, here is Peter, scribbled like graffiti. It's really quite amazing. Protestant scholars recognize that this is reality. I think the devil lives in microphone sections. He continues to assault us constantly, and certainly me. They give you a sign that says, turn your microphone on so you can enjoy this. Static. Anyway, we'll try to ignore the static. Maybe if I stand perfectly still. Even Protestant scholars recognize the fact that this really is Peter. This is the place. It's pretty amazing. And it was there that Constantine built a church commemorating that fact in the early 4th century. But it ties together with the New Testament's historical facts. 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and we have seen with our eyes, that which we have beheld, and our hands have touched concerning the logoutes zoes, the word of life, and the life appeared, and we beheld it, and we bear witness, and we announce to you the life, the eternal life, which is with the Father and had been made known to you. And he ends up with fellowship and joy. Peter says, we touched him. Saw him with our eyes. It happened. Luke's gospel, he notes both in Acts, the first part, and the beginning of his gospel, that he carefully sought out witnesses and got reports from witnesses from which to write his gospel and the book of Acts. It's magnificent. John 21. This is the disciple who witnesses concerning these things and the one who wrote these things. And we know that his witness is true. 50 years ago in the Missouri Synod, this was quite an issue. Did the text actually bear witness to the truth? Were the texts actually true? Were the texts actually the Word of God? Caused a split. We still live with its pain every day. Many of our departments still live with the mistakes and the pain made caused by that event and its lead up. It's affected the Missouri Synod with billions of dollars of loss. Internal families separated, nearly lost our soul. But the Lord was merciful. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word. Peter, James, and John accompanied Jesus on the transfiguration up the mountain. Jesus was consoled and encouraged by talking with Moses and Elijah about his exodus, about his coming death. And he was encouraged by them. And the great word from the Father came from heaven, "Behold, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The greatest encouragement and consolation that our Lord and Savior could possibly have gotten. And it was made possible, despite the sleepy disciples, they were able to write a record of it. Peter remembered it, James remembered it, John remembered it. And thus our Gospels record the account of the Transfiguration. My beloved Son. At the end of the account in Luke, there's really a remarkable statement. "And they found Jesus mono," it says in Greek. In the Latin text, it says, "Inventus est Jesus solus." Luther's, "Fanden sie Jesus alleine." You know, little German. Jesus was found alone. And there's a famous sermon by Chartow, quoted by Boherz in the great novel, Hammer of God. I think it's the most wonderful sermon I've ever read. The title is "Jesus Only," Transfiguration Sermon. When all else is gone, Jesus only. When all of our hopes are gone, Jesus only. When our self-confidence is gone, Jesus only. When our works righteousness is gone, Jesus only. When we are beat down and low because of challenges and failures and sins on our behalf and by us and against others and by others against us, Jesus only. Jesus own. "For the Son of Man must suffer and die." Peter didn't like that, of course. Jesus' answer was yes. "Yes, the Son of Man shall be handed over and be put to death." Peter says, "We have something more sure, the prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." We cannot take the Scriptures for granted. It is Jesus' own word to us. Doug and Alan, the Scriptures must be your constant source of consolation, of encouragement, and teaching. We cannot in this building forego the scriptures. We cannot in this building be on about the gospel, but a gospel undefined and disconnected from the apostolic witness, the gospels, the writings of the apostles. How do we listen to this word today? We find this word in preaching, to be sure. We find this word normed for us. We find this word is the norm for us in Holy Scripture, the Old and the New Testament. The holy men of God spoke as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit in a very miraculous way, making use of all of their fallibilities, their limits of understanding and knowledge, and nevertheless producing by the Holy Spirit the very word of God. You know, Jesus is the answer. Many years ago, in the midst of the controversy, J.O. Price wrote a great book, It Is Written. And I use the basic premise of this all the time. Somebody says, oh, you're from Missouri Synod, you're those crazy people. Do you really believe the Bible's literal or should be understood literally? And I would say, well, I just believe what Jesus believed about the Bible. You ever thought about that? And that's the premise of the whole book. Jesus recognized the same Old Testament we recognize today. He never allows tradition to be placed over the Word of God, ever. Jesus never criticizes a single book of the Old Testament, not once. He believes Scripture came directly from God. It is written, and he believes Scripture had complete authority, God's own authority from God's own mouth. The Word of God is the Scriptures. The Word which gives life comes from God's mouth. The Scripture has the authority of God. Jesus himself is under the authority of Scripture. I did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Scripture was the source of Christ's teaching. That which is written must be fulfilled about me. Jesus regarded Scripture as true and reliable. Scripture settles the question. You err, be not knowing the Scriptures, he says in Matthew 22. Christ believes Scripture testified about himself. These are they which testify of me, John 5. Jesus believed the Old Testament histories are true. And it's quite amazing that the two things that are most quickly discounted as non-historical, Jonah, and also then the creation of man and woman. Those two texts Jesus points out and says, no sign will be given about the resurrection except the sign of Jonah, where he's in the belly of the fish for 3 days. That's a strange reference to the resurrection, but it's Jesus's reference. And the other one, Jesus quotes Genesis 1 and Matthew 19, male and female created he them. Isn't that amazing? The Pharisees were right to believe that they had eternal life in the Scriptures, but Jesus said, you're wrong. You're looking at the wrong thing. You miss me. They testify about me. And Christ gave this to all of his apostles to let them know what was the Word of God. Dear friends, you will encounter many challenges, as I often say in installation sermons. You have already encountered, you should think here, our weaknesses and failings. Every one of us has personality pluses and minuses. That's something that's easy to learn over a long period of time. You have your strengths and weaknesses, and so do I. You will aggravate your colleagues from time to time. So do I. Yes, you will. Stand up, leave right now. Yes, I do know it. And your colleagues will aggravate you from time to time because we're just human. And the devil wishes to work among us, to separate us, to discourage us, to drag us down, to draw us into the newspaper, to who knows what. And we have Christ. We have solid Holy Scriptures in a world that is deserted. Fear not. Fear not. The Lord is with you. And the Lord provides all the grace needed for the very task that you are about to perform. He says, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. That text is all you need to do your great work. It's pleasing to the Lord. The Lord says, God loves a cheerful giver. And the gift is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what a person is not. You don't go out with any coercion because you work in advancement. What's it all? You've got a great station with a great message. It's all about Jesus. Did you go about meet people, love them, they'll be generous. And they'll be generous in God's name. He will see you. Now, so the Word of God comes right to you, right in your spot, right for today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel. Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.